and we don't have much time today. And I didn't realize that this was the last session for the year. So we'll say a few more things concerning the ceremonial law. And in that connection, let me read a couple of verses here from Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, at verse number 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purging of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let's pray. Our most gracious Lord, we come now in these few moments to reflect again upon the wonder of thy word. How amazing it is that thou hast revealed thyself to us in so many ways, in diverse ways, the ways that thou hast designed to communicate to us eternal truths as to who thou art, as to what our desperate need is before thee, and that how that need has been remedied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that as we have reflected upon these matters, that thou would bless, and that thou would create within us a greater love for thy word, a greater understanding of thy word, and increased obedience to thy word all of our lives. So we commit these few moments today into thy hands for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we've been looking at this theme really of how to read the Old Testament scriptures and how to understand what the Lord is revealing to us and the various ways that he has communicated those truths to us. And last week we started looking at how God reveals himself to us in the law and how we are to read and to understand that law. And we have understood from our Reformed perspective three different categories of law: the moral law, that which is unchangeable, that which is inflexible, that which is summed up for us in the two great commandments, to love God completely and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and then delineated in the Ten Commandments. And then the civil law, which are the applications of the moral law to Israel in that historic context, in that historic setting as they were making their way through the wilderness, then as they lived as a kingdom before God. And many of those civil laws are very specific. They are very detailed, but they demonstrate to us, even when it appears that they have no relevance to our lives. And let's face it, the Lord gave instructions to Israel as they walked in the wilderness, in a desert. We're not living in a wilderness. We're not living in a desert. So many of those specific statements are really impossible for us to obey. But yet it demonstrates to us that there are applications and there are ramifications to the moral law of God that must affect us and guide us and direct us in every single sphere of life. And so we can look even at those very specific laws as to how to live in the wilderness even, and extract from those the truths that are going to apply to us today. The application of the truth may differ. And I think this is a key thing that we have to remember as we come to our Bibles, that the application of truth is multifaceted. The application of truth is going to look differently in different circumstances, in different settings, in different cultures. But the truth that is being applied is exactly the same. It's based upon the moral law. So when we come to those civil laws, and we touched on this at the close of our discussion last week, how do we interpret those? We want to use what I call a ladder of abstraction, if you will. Here's this commandment specifically. Now think through this. And God wants us to think, you know. Think through this. When God tells me that I'm not to round off the corners of my beard, what's he saying there? We put that in the historical context, you see. And we learn that in the culture into which they were living and going to be entering into Canaan, that the Canaanites had very well sculpted beards. And God is saying, now you're going to enter into this land, into this new place, and you're my people. I redeemed you. And you are not going to live like the world. Even in your appearance, there is to be a difference between the godly and the ungodly. And even in the grooming that the Lord gave them, this was the principle. You're entering into the world. Don't be living like the world. All right, now, how do we extract from that? There's a very specific command. What is the commandment, the general commandment of the Ten Commandments? Well, you're not to have any other God before me. You're not to take my name in vain, and to love the Lord. And God's people are to be different. Now, that's going to look different, I say, in different settings, different cultures. But think through those. This specificity of it may not be applicable, but yet it's going to teach us how loving God completely or how loving our neighbor as we love ourselves is going to look like in everyday life. It may not affect the way I shave, but it does tell me that because I belong to the Lord, because I've been redeemed, that there must be a difference between the godly and the ungodly. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's how John put it. The high degree of specificity. So don't let those put you off. Think through them, but do that ladder of abstraction. What does this teach me about the Ten Commandments? What does it teach me? Is this loving God? Is this loving my neighbor as I love myself? And then what's that going to look like? What is that going to look like then in the time in which I live today? And then we have the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law deals with the religious life of the community. And these were, I like to view the civil laws as picture prophecies. They are picture prophecies that are given by God to point to the ultimate realities of the gospel truth. I read a text here from Hebrews that says something to us about the nature of sacrifices. You're all in the Old Testament. All of these rules and regulations and the details as to how you are to sacrifice an animal. We don't do that anymore. But it was designed to point to us to the ultimate reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was even in the Old Testament then a built-in obsolescence. They were object lessons. The object lessons were not perfect representations, but they were designed to make us look at that to look at something else. They were picture prophecies. But we can still learn from them. You take, and we only have 5 minutes here. Everybody look at the clock now. Yeah. But you look at those sacrifices. I was told I did. I don't have to? Well, but aren't you parents? Well, you tell me what you want to do then. Say what? If you need to go out for your parents, what?
Well, they
won't
be using the mic over there.
So. They'll hear me and I'll hear them. Yeah. Well, no, I don't like to be offensive to people. I don't want to interrupt them, so I will quit at 15 after, right? And parents can get there and whatever. Don't I know, Sam? I'll talk to you when we get home, right? You have that advantage that nobody else has. And I just wasted 3 minutes, right, in that little digression. But think of the sacrifices, right? We can still learn the gospel. We can learn the gospel there, but you take an animal, right? And you select the animal. It's got to be perfect. Got to be perfect. All right, that point, that reminds us of the absolute perfection of Jesus Christ. And then the one that brought the sacrifice would lay his hands. Yeah, they're getting nervous already. And they would lay their hands upon the animal, confessing their sins. And then the one that brought the animal would take the knife and slay that animal. The offerer slew the animal. What a lesson that is, that it's because of my sin. Here's this animal that was pure and spotless and perfect. perfect. But it was my sins now that is responsible for the death of that animal. And then the blood was taken. The blood was taken, and that blood then was manipulated. It was spread upon the altar, spread upon the person, depending upon the nature of the sacrifices. But it's teaching us that without the shedding of blood and without the application of that blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And all of that, I say, is pointing. It's a picture prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. I think we touched last weekend the fact that Christ is the reality, and all these are shadows, right? And the shadows are imperfect pictures. But it teaches us that salvation has to come outside of myself. It has to come from that one that is perfect. It has to come from that one that has no blemish in of himself. But it's my sins. It's my sin that causes the death of that animal. And it's the blood that is shed then that is the basis of the remission of the sins. Without the shedding of that blood, there's no remission. So we look at those sacrifices, and I can preach the gospel, yeah? I can preach the gospel from Leviticus. I can preach the gospel from Exodus. That's a whole paradigm, a picture prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus. But we don't do that anymore. It's what the whole book of Hebrews is saying. We don't do that anymore. We don't go back to the imperfect object lesson because we have the reality. Those were prophecies. I want you to see that those sacrifice, all the tabernacle stuff, but all the sacrificial system were picture prophecies that have been fulfilled. That's why we don't do them anymore. They've been fulfilled. I'm not looking. You see, I'm not looking for another virgin to conceive and bear a son. Isaiah made that prediction, right? Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. Call his name Emmanuel. And that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I'm not looking, therefore, for another virgin to come and conceive and bear a son. That's been fulfilled. Nor am I looking for another lamb to be sacrificed. Because those were prophecies, picture prophecies, that have been fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be blessed by those. Don't just read over that. Well, to us to learn.
Test.
Don't put. The reality. How to read.
Can you change the color?
We'll postpone that. All right, this is our last session. I don't know. I don't know really what's going to happen next year. I'm sure I'll be doing it some, whether Dr. Beakey will do the confession class. So I don't know. But my guess is that he'll be gone sometime. And I'll be back with you perhaps next year as well. And we'll come back and finish this. I want to talk about how do we view history? How do we read the history, the narratives? How do we read prophecy? How do we read prophecy, and how do we read poetry? So there's at least three more topics in this regard that I want to deal with, I trust, for your help. Quarter after. There you go. Don't look at me that way, Sander. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity we have to open up the Bible together, opportunity we have to reflect upon these wondrous truths that thou hast revealed to us. We pray that we would take our Bible seriously, that we would learn to love this word that thou hast so graciously revealed to us. Make us students of it. Make us obedient to it, to live in the reality of thy word. So bless, O Lord, we pray. We're thankful for the word preached today and what we anticipate this evening. Do meet with us and speak to us from this book. In Jesus' name, amen.